3, 2, 1, we're live. Welcome to another episode of Farrah's Halftime. We apologize in advance if you hear any background noise today, because it's hot as hell out here, and the air conditioning is off, and I don't want to melt.
Na 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 na. One world, baby, na na.
Oh, it's that type of day, Anton.
It's that type of day, damn right. Even though it's the 4th of July weekend, we're all off from work.
It's the 5th of July.
Yeah, I said 4th of July weekend. Consider technically a weekend.
I'm trying to be all hyped and stuff. Repping New Jersey. I like your outfit, man. What are you repping today? This is a London, Chelsea.
Even throwback trash. Chelsea throwback jersey. I got this off Vincentius.
I like it. It's a tank.
It's cost me, because it's a London-based company, it cost me $50 total. They gave me a cool Chelsea beanie with it, too.
Aww.
The only thing that sucks, they don't give you a tracking number, and it took like 2-3 weeks to reach you here.
Yeah. Don't order stuff from the UK during Christmas time. Mine took 2 months for a package to come in. Anyway, I'm repping Dortmund today, because this is an old school classic jersey. Black and yellow. I look like a bumblebee, but that's besides the point.
Let me just take the thermometer up, down. It's fucking balls ass high, man. All right,
man.
Oh, my God. I'm melted.
You good?
Romeo, I'm turning it to 60.
You're good. Turn it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, folks, we have a shitload to talk about on Farrah's Halftime. What is that? What episode is it, by the way? 22?
22.
Is it?
Today is episode 22.
22. Well, that's my soccer jersey number.
We're also on hiatus today because we're not dropping as many episodes because it's summer. We have lives. Not much soccer going on, save for the tournaments and everything.
Yeah,
and the transfer market.
It's good that these tournaments are going on because Africa Cup of Nations, Women's World Cup, Copa America, all coming to the nitty gritty, shall we say, of
exactly.
The tournaments. Women's World Cup, man. USA versus Netherlands in the final.
Let's go, Netherlands. I'm sick of Abby Wambach Part 2, aka Megan Rapinoe. She's
Rapinoe.
Hot. She's hot, but she's fucking annoying. And Alex Morgan was the darling. She actually came out and she has the tea thing, which was cringy. And then she's complaining about people criticizing her. What's it called? Her celebration? And she claimed that every time men celebrate a goal, they grab their nuts. Where? Where have you seen that? Eden Hazard. Slides. Drogba. Slides. Diego Costa. Shushes. Harry Kane. Runs to his boys. Son. Right. Runs to his boys. They either run to their boys, slide, or do a Fortnite dance. Where do they grab their nuts, Alex? You stupid idiot. I'm sick of their mouths, and I hope the Netherlands work their shit on Saturday.
I think it's a Sunday final. But
regardless... Wow, my days are off. This is what happened.
Congratulations to both women's teams. A lot of questionable calls, in my opinion, throughout the entire tournament regarding penalties.
100%.
And especially kind of towards the USA team. But
also, why has Megan Rapinoe been the darling of the team? She had one good game.
Yeah,
and she's been arguably garbage the rest of them.
I don't know.
It's because she's a lesbian. She's stunning and brave, Antonio. Stunning and brave.
Anyway.
Stunning and brave, everyone.
Women's World Cup coming to a conclusion this
Go
Sunday.
Netherlands.
USA versus Netherlands, while Anton is cooling off from that nice rant of his about the women's national team. But Copa America also coming to a close.
Wow. Yo, I can't.
Brazil versus Peru. They were matched with each other in the group. Brazil spanked them 5-0. And they meet again in the Copa America final.
That's going to be a good final.
After Peru shockingly beat Chile 3-0.
What the hell happened to Chile, man?
And the hell happened to Uruguay and Colombia? They're supposed to be in these positions, but they just royally fucked everything up.
Peru had a good game. They had a really good game, and their goalkeeper was on point. Against Vidal. Sanchez was still garbage. He's done. He should never be called the national team, and he's better off playing in, like, a lower team, Italian team at this point. He's done, Sanchez.
Roma could use him. I feel like Roma needs everybody.
Lower. He's going to Cagliari.
Udinese.
Exactly. So,
I have a strange feeling that Peru's going to win.
Nah, Brazil.
Because I was talking to one of our boys' aunts, and I was like, yo, I really want Peru to go... face Brazil in the final because, you know, Brazil knocked out Argentina in the semifinals, which that game had my blood boiling, by the way. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he was like, nah, bro, no way. So I kind of want Peru to go all the way and freaking win Copa America. It'll be nice. It's kind of like Croatia making the World Cup final.
It is.
You know? But if you were to tell me Peru would have been in the final waiting for Argentina, for example, it would have been a perfect scenario for Messi to finally win something with Argentina. So I'm very upset that that Messi didn't go to the final and win the Copa America, because they actually played well, Anton. And
they did play well.
And Messi had a phenomenal game, and so did the other players. This is the first time in the entire tournament where Argentina actually played well and showed up.
Yeah.
But they got very unlucky. They hit the post a few times. I think the coach has got to go, man.
He did
bring in some younger players. Like,
there is no defense on Argentina.
Here's what I have to say. In the 2018 World Cup, and even now in the 2019 Copa America, regardless of the two different coaches, why do they not play and start Paulo Dybala? I do not understand.
They could have used Icardi.
Or Icardi, but like Dybala, it would have been perfect. Like, you could throw Messi on the right, have Aguero on the left, Di Maria on the Aguero in the middle, Di Maria on the left, and Dybala as the attacking midfielder. That you have a four solid attacking prowess or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it pisses me off because they throw him on in the last 5 minutes, like, expecting him to score a hat trick against Brazil and their host nation. Like, I don't get it, man. This is some bullshit coaches, some bullshit referees also. Oh my god, I forgot to mention the referee that game. He was horrendous. He two clear cut penalties for Argentina. He's like, nah, you got
it. It was a bad game. I felt bad for Argentina. Messi just. I think this is it. He's not coming back to the national team.
I think he's going to have one more World Cup, which is next time in Qatar in 2022. Because he's still going to be, what, like 35, 36? You already know he's going to still be around.
I doubt it.
I think he's going to play that World Cup.
I very highly doubt it. I doubt he's going to come back to the World Cup after this. I think, personally, he's just done.
We'll find out. You know, Messi's had those rage quits and all, it came back. So
yeah.
We'll find out. Time will tell. African Cup of Nations going into the knockout stage.
Yep.
To be fair, it's kind of been like eh.
It's been eh because all these teams are just playing like they're wrestling rather than actually playing soccer. The Egypt Uganda game. Yeah. I've just never seen more drop kicks in a game than
than WWE.
Dude, it's like they could give dudes like technical wrestlers like 2002 Kurt Angle or one for their money by the way they were just drop kicking people.
Yeah, and not only that, I feel like
there's no defense.
Not even that. I feel like the bigger name teams are underestimating the little name teams.
Exactly.
And the little name teams are actually showing up and playing with their heart out. That's why you saw today a team like Benin are into the quarterfinals because they beat Morocco. Because Morocco thought, you know, yeah, we'll be all right. We're fine. We're one of the favorites in the tournament. We got this. See you around, bro. Ziyech actually missed the penalty in extra time of, like, you know, the game. Hit the post, and he had a chance to win it for them. But it was unfortunate for him because he was one of their better players.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a big game tomorrow for our motherland, Egypt, against the Africa of South. Or South Africa, should I say?
We should be able to win that game. I expect South Africa to like park the bus and give us problems to keep our attack at bay. One thing I'm worried about for Egypt is that our defense.
We've been doing good. We haven't conceded a goal.
We haven't conceded a goal, but there are too many close calls, and we let them in the box too much.
That's true, and we really haven't faced a team that can punish us and finish.
Exactly. What's going to happen if we face
Senegal?
Senegal
or Nigeria?
Or Nigeria or
which? If we advance past South Africa, we'll be awaiting the winner of Nigeria and Cameroon.
Yeah.
So those teams are not easy to play.
Exactly. I'm not happy about that.
Shout out, by the way, completely off topic, to my reindeer mug here that I'm drinking some coffee in.
It's Christmas in July, baby. Christmas in July.
And, you know, we live simple. We live alone. So we got to survive, man. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Reindeer mugs in July is the new trend. but Copa America, Africa Cup of Nations, Women's World Cup all coming to an end soon.
Gold Cup. Almost
Gold Cup, USA versus Mexico. I forgot to mention that. We haven't mentioned that at all.
Yeah.
Because it's such a bland tournament, but everybody wants to see USA and Mexico.
The only big teams are in that are Canada, the US, and Mexico. There's really not that.
Costa Rica also.
Costa Rica too, yeah. Like, those are only really the powerful teams on it. Everyone else just parks the bus and just tries to punish.
Yeah, yeah. But USA and Mexico should be a good final. I fully expect actually Mexico to win because even though the U.S., they have a very young squad, I think that squad is being prepared for the next World Cup.
Exactly.
So, if they win it, that would be great.
Christian Pulisic at the helm, I'm happy with him. I'm happy with his trigger, his pacing, his ability to create chances, his cross is flawed, because Lord knows we need a guy
to cross. Yeah, but I was about to ask, do you think he has the physicality for the Prem?
Not yet.
Not yet, right?
Not yet.
Maybe in a year.
In a year.
Hit the gym, boy.
Under Lampard, he will learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm very, very
happy. Lampard, we forgot to mention that. Congratulations.
Your boy
is back.
The prodigal son has come home. No more Sarri ball, no more darkness, no more pieces of shit managers. We got a manager who's finally ready to work, who loves the club, who's ready to integrate youth, who's ready to work with the senior players. I'm excited. It's a great time to be a Chelsea fan. Even though we got a transfer ban, even though Hazard left, we locked down Kovacic, mm-hmm. we got Pulisic, left his cheek, and Hudson-Odoi's recovery is coming better than expected. Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek signed a new contract the past few days. I'm hyped.
Yeah, I can clearly tell. I haven't heard that hype in your voice for a while.
I know. It's been tough to be a Chelsea fan for the past year because Maurizio Sarri didn't make anything easier. I can't wait to see all my friends that are Juventus fans go suffer through the bullshit with that baby back bitch that we had to suffer with. Because Maurizio Sarri is a baby back bitch.
All right, hear me out.
All right.
You're excited.
Yes.
And you have every right to be.
Yes.
But two questions. One, is Chelsea going to be Chelsea like they have been in the past 13 years?
Not this season.
Where they just, you know, after one season, you do unsatisfactory and they get rid of you.
Here's the thing.
If they keep Lampard and develop him and have patience with him, I'm fine. But it hasn't, Chelsea's history in the past, like, decade.
Here's the thing.
They're like, nah, you be all right.
According to a few reports by The Guardian, The Daily Mail, and The Express, Roman Abramovich has given Lampard his word to keep him on for more than a year. Like, the first year is going to be obviously...
Ooh, more than a year.
It's going to be... I'm not done. He's going to try... He knows that this season, because of the transfer ban and everything, we can't be as competitive as, say, a Man City, say, a Tottenham, say... Arsenal's not competitive.
Yeah, Arsenal suck.
Yeah. But, like... Or, like... Or as one of the other big four teams.
Man City, Man United... Well, Man United's not going to compete either.
Liverpool,
yeah.
So we can't... Pete... on the transfer market with the other big four teams.
Yeah.
Like I said, Man City, Liverpool, and
if you guys give Lampard some time,
that's what we plan on doing.
And give him the time to develop the youth players and get that system back into shape. I could see Chelsea again finishing in top four this season and making like maybe the quarterfinals of the Champions League since you guys are back in it.
I can see it happening. We have good players.
Yeah, you guys have sick players.
I mean, we got Batshuayi back with the team. Apparently, Lampard wants him. Lampard is very keen on using him and Tammy Abraham.
Oh, you got Abraham back too?
Yeah.
Nice. He got some good experience at Aston.
Exactly.
He was one of their top goal scorers.
So, and Morata's going to be sold to Atletico Madrid. Bye-bye, pretty boy. I just don't want no more pretty boy strike.
What about Higuain? Is he gone?
Or he's back in with Juve. He's there probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, he's not coming back.
No. Nope. Like,
so, you're wrong. But... can you believe this, Anton, what I'm about to tell you?
What?
After, I believe it was over a year and a half, Tottenham have made a signing in the transfer market, people. And not only one, but two on the same freaking day. We got Tanguy, from what I've heard how he pronounces his first name, even though it's spelled Tanguy.
Yeah.
Tanguy Ndombele of Olympique Lyonnais of France, who's an absolute monster in the midfield. Him next to Sissoko next season. See you around.
All right.
And on top of that, we got this nice, pacey dribbler of a winger. English also. We got him from Leeds United. His name is Jack Clark. He wasn't expensive at all. We loaned him immediately back so he could go back to the championship and get some more experience. But he's our player, man. I'm looking forward to having him incorporated into the team. Not this season, but next. But we will all be keeping an eye on him. But I'm so hyped for Ndombele, man. Apparently, he came to check out the facilities and like wasn't supposed to sign. But Pochettino, if it wasn't for Pochettino and definitely Daniel Levy is like, you're not leaving until you sign. I don't know if it was like a threat or not.
Probably a threat.
But my man
Daniel
signed.
Daniel Levy is a scumbag.
But my man signed, which is all that matters. And he looks like one of the signings of the summer, man. So I am hyped. That Spurs finally made a signing. And there's still more rumors to come, like Giovanni Lo Celso, who I'm very excited about. Also, he's had a great Copa America, great year with Real Betis. There's still talks of Ryan Sessegnon from Fulham, because we need a good left-back replacement for Danny Rose.
Yeah. Danny Rose left the club already?
No, he's still there. But, you know, our left-back hasn't been the best position in the, over the past year, so why not get it reinforced?
All right.
There's even talks of, what's his name? That kid from Sporting, Bruno Fernandes. That would be huge because he's freaking another level. So a lot of work in the midfield that's being done at Spurs, which is what we were lacking last year.
Yeah.
Our defense is good. Our attack is fine. Maybe get a backup striker for Kane that like won't be upset that he's on the bench and like play, you know, cup games and stuff like that. But I can honestly see if we really push, I don't see a reason why Spurs can't win the Premier League.
Exactly. Yeah.
If see, this is what Spurs have to do in order to win. Every time we go up against the big six, what they call them, we don't rack up enough points. If we beat the, you know, those other five teams in the big six at home and like draw away from home, we win the Premier League. Because our record away from home against the small teams is fine. Our record at home is fine. It's literally that's the only area that we have to improve on. And I think this year we're going to do it. So I'm hyped. I can't wait. It's another like month or month and change until the Prem restarts. But let's shift besides Spurs and Chelsea, because we could talk about Spurs and Chelsea all day.
We could. United signed Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, that was a good signing for them. That was a good signing.
I don't think so, man.
I think it is. Antonio Valencia, I think he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone now. He's left the club.
So they needed a right back replacement.
I think they paid a little bit too much for Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, they definitely did. You know who paid a lot of money for a young star that like they should not have paid all that money for?
Who?
Atletico Madrid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They paid 100+ euros for João Felix of Benfica, and don't get me wrong, the kid is good.
They gave Griezmann's number 7. Griezmann hasn't even left the club yet.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, the kid is good. But to spend over 100 million euros?
Yeah.
That's like, Christian Eriksen won't even go for that.
Exactly.
So, they have made good signings, though. Like, he's a good signing. They've made Hector Herrera. They got him from Porto. And along with his teammate, Felipe, in the back as a Godin replacement. They got Marcos Llorente of Real Madrid. Switch from the, Merengues to the Rojos Blancos.
Rojiblancos.
So that's going to be... They have made good signings from Rodri.
Now Rodri's going to Man City now.
He's already official, I think, to Man City. They broke their
transfer record.
Yeah, so that's why I think they needed a player like Hector Herrera with some experience to fill that gap. But it's going to be interesting to see how Real Madrid, Atletico, and Barcelona do. I think any one of those three can win the La Liga next year.
My question with Barcelona is, what the hell is going on with Neymar and
Griezmann? They're gonna buy them both. Watch, but according to some of the fans, they don't want.
They don't want them. Aren't happy with the transfer policies. They're like, what the hell is going on? There's no direction with the transfer policies. Everyone says they need to focus on defense.
Yeah,
meanwhile, they just keep buying attacking players.
And they got Frankie De Jong, who's a phenomenal buy in the midfield. But they have a crazy amount of midfield.
Arthur, Malcolm,
Busquets, Rakitic,
Rigetic, yes.
They have plenty of players.
Vidal,
yeah. They have plenty of midfield. Strength.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's a future buy, and you know he's still phenomenal. So I don't mind that buy at all. But they definitely need to upgrade their defense. PK should be gone, man. PK should be out.
PK's gonna go to Real Madrid. I guess if he could go into Inter Miami.
Yeah. I could definitely see that happening. What is that starting, by the way?
Next season.
Next season, or
two seasons? I'm not sure.
They're all hyped about that. Imagine down the line. Beckham convinces Messi and Ronaldo to be on that team.
That's what is probably going to happen.
And they would be teammates after all that rivalry and all those years. It would be interesting to see, man. But what else, man? I feel like...
There's not much to talk about today, actually. Preseason's about to start soon.
Yep. It's good to see how, you know, there are good rotations of the squads. Get a good feel of the youngsters.
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm upset, actually, that Spurs aren't coming to the States. They always come to the States, but I think they're going to Singapore.
It's honestly for the best. Chelsea doesn't come to the States either, but it's honestly for the best because it's less travel time, more time to sleep, more time to like, and less press stuff. But when they come to the States, they have to go to like the Adidas mega store to do this, do that.
That's true.
Like, not Adidas, like Adidas or Nike mega store. Like, it's cool to meet these players, but sometimes when you're a fan who wants nothing but trophies, you don't want them in these places. You want them to focus on their health, to focus on their fitness. Their tactics to make sure the season is perfect.
I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped for the Prem, man. I'm so hyped, especially after Spurs' nice run in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Hopefully we just switch that form into the...
One thing I almost forgot to mention is that what the hell's up with Inter's transfer policy? They keep saying every week, We're going to get Nico Barella. We're going to get Romelu Lukaku. And we're going to get Victor Moses.
And nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Well, because I think they're waiting to get rid of Icardi. And once that falls through, then all these doors will open up.
Antonio Conte is probably fuming right now once that shit done.
Yeah, that's going to also be interesting. Serie A is going to be very interesting this year. I think Juventus, welcome home Gianluigi Buffon.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe it. He stayed, what, 2 years at PSG?
1 year.
PSG. 1 year. Which is completely pointless. He pretty much said, yo, give me my paycheck and I'm going to be out. So I don't blame him.
He had a nice payday.
But he's number 77.
So 77?
Why?
Okay, there's a story behind the 77 and there's racist undertones for you people who aren't from the Dave Chappelle School of Comedy who get scared of this shit. Turn away.
Or fast forward and keep listening.
Yeah, Gianluigi Buffon, politically, is a nationalist.
All right.
Despite him playing with people of different various cultures and everything, he's a nationalist at his core. And his number 88, at Parma, his first number was 88.
Okay.
All right. And then there was, because 88 is, the eighth letter in the alphabet is H. HH. You do the math. And it's not Hulk Hogan, kids.
Zero.
So he pretty much had that number. People accuse him of being a neo-Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
That number had some other sentimental significance to Buffon.
Yeah.
But they kept calling him a neo-Nazi to the point where he changed it to 77. So the 77 is considered his first number in Parma for those who don't like that number 88 or who get offended by shit way too quickly.
That's true. So there's a story behind it.
Yeah. So he chose the number 77 to make his career come full circle.
That's a nice story.
Yeah,
I like that.
According to him in an interview, Chesney and Chiellini called him saying, "We'll offer you Chesney's number one and Chiellini's captain's armband because he's the captain of
Juventus." Yeah, and he was like, "No."
He's like, "No, because I'm just a backup goalkeeper who's moving into a managerial role next season. It's your team now."
So it is his last year of football.
According to reports, it is.
Wow, that's going to be a sad sight to see that. He could arguably be one of the best goalkeepers ever, if not the best.
He is one of the best goalkeepers, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Phenomenal career. Shout out to him. And he's always freaking classy, man, with the way he dresses.
He's a classy kid. Classy on and off the pitch. Back hair. Yeah. A funny story about Gigi Buffon.
Like Andrea Pirlo.
He is. And Xabi Alonso.
Word.
Funny story about Gigi Buffon. In the 2016 Euros, people were asking, how do you play for so long? He's like, I had to give up wine, cheeses, and pasta. For an Italian man, I want to kill myself by doing that.
Hey, man, that sounds like a horrible...
And he gave up red meat, too. Like, he stopped... He had to... But you know what it is? When you're at that age and you have to play at the high level, you have to change... Adapt.
Yeah, bro. Meat.
Exactly. In the words of Triple H... Well, the fact of the matter is, you have to adapt or die.
And what does he say about the freaking pressure and the diamond and if you're going to shine or crumble or some bullshit like that?
Here's the diamond in the rough. The coal that will be pressed to become the next big thing.
Yeah, bro. Freaking diamond in the rough. We're talking Aladdin here from Jafar and all that stuff. Diamond in the rough. But yeah, there's a lot of transfers going on. There's still a whole lot of summer left to find out who's going where. Any other big transfers? I feel like we mentioned them all. Atletico, Juve, Inter still in talks.
I'm trying to think. I remember there was a big transfer, but I freaking forgot. Pogba wants to go back. His agent came out today saying...
To Juve?
No, Pogba, his agent came out saying he wants out of Man United. So he could either go to Real Madrid or Juve. Personally, I'd like to see him back on Juve.
I would too, but I feel like he would go for Real Madrid.
No, apparently he wants Juve more.
Really?
He wants Juve more.
Interesting. I mean, he would work on either team, but I could see why he doesn't want to be at Man United anymore because they had a shit season last season, and a player like him should be playing Champions League.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. So, and I always, I always love when him and his brothers put up those Instagram videos of them
dancing. It's honestly cringing, yeah.
Not cringing. It's hilarious. I was on there like, yeah, let's do this, dude. And they got some really crazy-ass music.
They got some just African dance hall. I love that shit.
Because one of the brothers plays for Atlanta United in MLS. I think it's Florentine.
It's Florentine, yeah. Yeah. Florentine used to play for Saint Etienne.
And then he moved?
Yeah, he moved to...
Nice. She's straight chilling in the MLS. But I always wondered why his brothers aren't playing at such a high level like him. I mean, I'm sure they're decent defenders, but I think both of them are defenders.
Not every footballing family is going to have good players. I mean,
true.
It's not,
true.
You know, it's not everyone could be the Nevilles.
Yeah.
Or the Hazards.
Word.
Or, I mean, look, you have Thorgan and Eden.
Playing at the high levels.
And they have the youngest one, Kylie, and he's playing in a freaking Austrian league.
Oh, really? I didn't even know they had a third brother.
Kylie, he was in the Chelsea Academy, but he dipped once his brother Eden dipped.
Thorgan Hazard signed for Dortmund. It's going to be good, interesting to see how he's going to do. But, Bundesliga, I haven't heard anything much from them, or Bayern.
Robin retired yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Damn, what a player, man. I remember his volley goal against Manchester United. I believe it was in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Man, what I always.
He was what a player he was.
Yeah, what a player he was. The only thing that he was kind of made fun of his whole career was that, like, he never passed.
He never passed, but, like, no one ever learned from that. He's on the right wing.
Yeah.
He just cuts in.
And nobody could really stop him. He had this way that, like, nobody could really stop him. Exactly. And he kind of had the same motion.
He for a while, he aged like a fine wine. Then, like, just...
Then
like, the 2016 injury, just injuries just ruined him.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how Bayern are going to cope without their, like, two legends of Robin and Ribery who've been at the club They've been at the club for, I think, 10-plus years.
Yeah.
So...
they came at the same time, I think?
They did come at the same time, I believe. Yeah. They did. And that was when Robin came from Real Madrid, so it was like prime time.
I just wish Robin was never injury laden at Chelsea and never wanted to like move to Madrid or anything. He could have been great at Chelsea.
Yeah, I remember him. I think he was number 16 at Chelsea.
He was 16, yeah. No. I mean, Robin is a Chelsea legend. He did miss that penalty to the Champions League final. It's a funny story about that. It's like Drogba and Lamps were pretty much telling him in his ear, Robin, you're a blue, mate. Don't do it. You're not going to make it. They were just shitting on him. And lo and behold... He missed it.
What are you going to do, man? Sometimes the pressure of a penalty gets to you, right?
Exactly.
Even the best players miss those all the time.
Yeah. But when you have players like Drogba and Lamps in your ear talking shit to you, you're going to fucking crack.
That's true. Especially Drogba. Yeah. I'd be terrified of that guy talking shit behind my ear.
I'm just hoping Michy Batshuayi becomes Drogba.
The next Drogba? I can see it happening. He just needs to get more like physical.
He's physical enough already.
Yeah?
It's just, I don't want any more hold-up play from Michy.
And just, like, be more direct?
Just be more direct.
Yeah.
Be more... Hazard's not there to play hold up plays with anymore.
Yeah. You guys really missed Costa, man. He was a freaking beast.
He was just an...
He was the perfect Chelsea striker.
He was a piece of shit, and I loved him.
Yeah, bro. He used to get in people's face. I remember that one game with Chelsea Spurs, that 2-2, when you guys, like, effed up our chances to win the Prem.
Great day.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember he got into the face of like Moussa Dembélé, and Moussa Dembélé is that type of player too. So it was a good old fashioned London derby. But
yeah,
I feel like that's we wrapped everything up, man.
We did wrap everything. It's a short episode today.
Yeah, less than a half hour. Yeah, short and sweet and to the point.
It'll be nice for the editing too.
Exactly. from everybody here at Pharaoh's Halftime, we would like you to listen to our lovely sponsor, Anchor.
From everyone here at Pharaoh's Halftime,
myself, Antonio,
and Anton,
thank you for watching. Don't forget to hit the bell notification on YouTube to get notifications about our bi-weekly, I guess, episodes, whatever we do. It's like a paycheck bi-weekly.
Yeah, for real.
but that's very
nice. And hit the subscribe button.
Don't forget also our Instagram page, at Pharaoh's Halftime 10. Go follow us. Spread the word. Enjoy our episodes. Go on YouTube. We're silly, being silly on all the time. So from us to you, see you next time.
Stay blessed, y'all.
Peace.